body.
Everybody, today is Saturday, July 12th, 2014, and you're listening live with Adriana's Mystic Connections, live every second Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. I know Adriana has a wonderful show today for you guys, and she has a wonderful guest, Cindy Barry Addis, that will be joining her. If you would like to talk to Adriana today and ask her a question, or receive a free mini reading, please give us a call at 646-378-0378. That is our guest call-in. Please be patient because we have many people in queue waiting to talk to Adriana. And her question today, why is spiritual enlightenment important? We're going to ask every guest that today, so please bear with us. And now I give you your host, Adriana.
Good morning. And it's July. Actually, it's July 12th, which may not be as important to some as others. July 12th is important to me because it follows the day of the 11th, which is my anniversary. So I'm celebrating being married to the same man, the same wonderful man, for 27 years. And yesterday was a little difficult for me at work, and I sort of crashed after work and fell asleep. He was working late, so five, I thought I'd sleep for a couple hours. And one of the people staying at the house was supposed to make dinner for us, and they bailed. So my husband came home and made his own dinner and didn't complain. Woke me up and fed me. We had a wonderful night. I'm so blessed to have an amazing husband. My husband is going with me this year to the highlight of our year, is going to the Great Lakes Retreat with me. We're very excited. It's going to be a week that we will be immersed in spiritual enlightenment. It's the week that we give ourselves to heal spiritually and grow spiritually. It's an amazing, wonderful time. And I'm so blessed to actually have as my guest one of the co-chairs for this year and someone who has been with the Great Lakes Committee for as long as I can remember, who helps put on this amazing retreat every year. And I know I talk a lot about the retreat. It's because it's so special to me. It's so amazing. So, Courtney, do we have Cindy?
Yes, we do.
Oh, good. Now, Cindy, can I welcome you into the program?
Yes. Hi, Adriana. So good to talk with you.
Oh, so lovely to hear your voice.
Yes, I'm just very happy to be here with you this morning and looking forward to the retreat starting. We will be there a week from today setting up, and you'll probably arrive on Saturday night too. So, yes, it's as you were saying, it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. A lot of people think of it as a spiritual family reunion. They come back year after year just to be with the like-minded people and in the environment of such a wonderful, healing and spiritually, you know, progressive place.
You know, I have two memories to share. The first is my first year there. My mom had coaxed me and tried to get me there. And finally, she had me go. And about midway through the week, I grabbed her hand and I said, "Mom, you found our peeps. These are real people. They understand us." You know, when you say things like, "I'm just not in my body all the way today," you know, you get a couple people nodding. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You know, I was I was walking, and his name escapes me. Oh, I hate that. But Heather Basil's, the young man who accompanied her a couple of times.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm trying to keep his name. That's right. I can see him right before my eyes.
I can see him. I was walking back to my room, and he was walking with me. And suddenly, he stopped being a man and started being a horse, to the point that he was galloping and, you know, making horse noises. And I loved it. And I completely understood. He was channeling his horse, and
yeah.
I loved it. And it was just like, yes, this is, you know, this is the essence of this, is that this is, we can be the true, authentic, crazy, wonderful people that we hide the rest of the
yes. And you could tell him about that, and he would understand.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you see that somewhere else, and you think, oh, well, maybe I better not say anything. But, you
yeah.
know, at the retreat, you can share experiences like that, and people are, you know, so excited to hear about it because they're open and they're, you know, really interested in anything that has to do with metaphysics and spirituality.
I meditated a few minutes before we started the show because my guides kept kicking me and saying, meditate. We've got some stuff to tell you. Meditate. I'm like, okay. All right. So and what they wanted to talk about was the soul consciousness and the journey to soul consciousness and how the retreat plays a part in that. And then they also wanted to talk about, this is going to bring tears to my eyes, but the people who go to the retreat year after year after year who are no longer here on this planet,
oh, yeah.
but still go to the retreat.
You know, yeah, that gives me chills because I'm so aware of that. Even when we do, like, the meditation in the morning, you know, I'm aware of there are so many in spirit that gather to come to the meditation and to come to the healing service and come to the different classes because, you know, they can benefit on all levels from a spiritual gathering, the energy that is, you know, comes together for something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can feel them. And you know, I mean, my mom is now on the other side, and she comes through regularly in when we get readings or messages. And she's so happy that I'm there, and I'm so excited to be a workshop leader this year.
Oh, I know. You know, that reminds me. The first year that Rachel Satty was with us, I had a reading with her. And my mom came through the reading, and Rachel said, oh, she's so excited to be here at the retreat with you. She got a dress that matches the t-shirt.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and so she was there all week with us. And you know, the first time I ever went to the retreat, I came with my mom, and I did a couple of times, you know, she attended. And so it was so wonderful to connect with her and know that she was excited to be there in spirit as well. So I totally get what you're saying about, you know, those in spirit who have attended before and been the retreat are now there on another level. It's an amazing place. Of course, I think that because we do so many readings that are connected with spirit for people, they gather so that they can then, you know, participate in that reading and they want to connect with their loved ones. So it's just a beautiful experience.
It is. It truly is. And I do readings all over the place. I feel that my readings are elevated when I'm surrounded with spiritual people, and I feel so much more connected there. But
I think there's an energy that builds that everybody benefits from, whether you're doing readings or receiving the readings or doing your workshop or whatever. You know, you can really feel that energy that feeds us all. So
sometimes when we're there, you know, I will feel like the outside world just diminishes or just sort of pales.
Yes, I totally agree.
And then you go back to reality. It's like, oh, there's reality. Look at that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people say that they love to come to the retreat to kind of get away from, you know, everyday life that has so many demands on us, you know, mentally, emotionally, and physically, and really get restored and rebalanced and, you know, infused with spirit so they take that with them back out into the world and then, you know, remember the truth of who they are while they still have to be in the world, kind of, but not of it, that kind of thing.
Yes, yes. I would like to, for you to just lead us through a day. Like, if someone who hasn't come to the retreat before but is considering going to the retreat, what would a normal day be like?
Well, I think I'll pick Monday. It's one of my favorite days. In the very early morning at 7:30, we have a meditation for about a half hour. And then meditation, if you attend, some people like to sleep in, but other people like to come to the meditation. And then you would go to breakfast.
And normally you lead the meditation, right?
I do, yep. I lead the meditation Monday to Thursday. So we have a wonderful gathering of about, I don't know, between 25 and 30 people in the morning, which is, you know, probably a small percentage of everybody who's there, but a lot of people have other things they have to do. So anyway, we start with the meditation, then they can go to breakfast, and after that we'll have our first lecture. Actually, Sunday night's our first lecture, but Monday morning there'll be a lecture for about 45 minutes in the auditorium. For the lecture, sometimes we always have our raffle prize drawing. And then sometimes
I love the raffle prize. You know what? Yeah. Raffle, it's funny. What you do is you pay $1 for a raffle, for each raffle ticket, and then they pull, they being you and the rest of the committee, pull all these different prizes out, and you're like, oh, it looks nice. Oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. But it turns out that what you get is almost always a message or something that you need.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And I've seen that happen over and over. And it's wonderful because people bring things to donate to the raffle, and they're always wonderful little gifts. And that's what we, you know, raffle off. But also, all those tickets that people are buying that go into that big bin, at the end of the week, we raffle off a free retreat for next week. Or year. So it's a wonderful chance for just $1 to have this great experience again next year for free.
Once you go, you're definitely going to want to come back. It's that type of amazing. It opens up your mind in a way that you've never, or at least for me, it opened up my mind in a way that no other experience had. And then you need that. It's like you need that spiritual calibration so you're ready for the next year. It's like the start of my year.
I know, and I think a lot of it is people just you know, the first time I came to the retreat, I was just, oh, my gosh, there's all this information available that you can't find anywhere else. Now, it's a little bit different in this day and age because that was 27 years ago that I started. But, you know, it used to be you didn't have the bookstores. You didn't have the workshops available, and you certainly didn't have the technology of being online. And so you couldn't find it anywhere. And when I got to the first retreat, it was like, I felt like I was coming home. It's like, oh, this is what I've been searching for. Mm-hmm. And then the community of people that all love, you know, the same kinds of, you know, experiences and the same types of workshops and lectures and learning about the same kinds of things. I mean, it was just a wonderful community. You feel like you're coming home.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what? I interrupted you. So you were walking us through our day.
I'm sorry, what?
You were walking us through our day on Monday, and I got us off topic.
Yes. So after our lecture on Monday morning, then we have a few minutes, and then we go to our first workshop, and that's a two-hour workshop in the morning. And you pick from four different workshops, you know, what you're going to attend in the morning, or there's also two single sessions. You could go to those. Some people do a single session, they'll pick a workshop that they can take for the entire week every single day. And after that, the two-hour experience, then we have our lunch, and again, go to the cafeteria, and the cafeteria at the Olivet College has the most wonderful food. It's just gotten better every single year. And so anybody who is concerned about college food, oh, my gosh, we just can't believe how good it is. I have people say, oh, I always gain weight at the retreat because the food is so good.
You know, they make sure that they have the correct type of food for vegans, for vegetarians, and there's plenty of meat if you're a meat eater too. So
just wonderful. And they have, you know, a huge salad bar and sandwich bar, and they have, you know, wonderful cooked food. And they and also if you're on a very specific diet, like some people are on gluten-free diets, they will cook something specific for you if you let them know ahead of time. It's wonderful. If you remember, Adriana, they were remodeling the cafeteria last year, and we had to eat down in the basement, but we gave those people a standing ovation. Do you remember that? Because they had done such an incredible job with the food in those circumstances. It was just amazing. They're all such wonderful, helpful people. And they're not really even part of our retreat, but yet they
are. Wonderful. In a way, they are. And all meals and also your room all come with the retreat price. Where can they find more information on the retreat if they wanted to sign up?
Yeah, if you don't have a brochure, the best thing to do is to go online, and our website is, you know, thegreatlakesretreat.org, and they can do the entire brochure and all the different workshops and the single sessions. And if they go to the very last page, they will find the name of our registrar, and that's Sandy Hafer, and you can either email her or you can call her directly and get more information about how to sign up quickly if you're still interested in coming next week. So
For the day. You can come for class.
Yes.
Or you can come for 2 days. You can come for however long you want. You can come for a lecture if you want.
Yes.
Or you can come for the entire week. You know, give yourself the gift that your spirit really needs.
Yes.
Which is just wrenching your spirit. I mean, we take care of ourselves physically. We take care of ourselves, hopefully, emotionally. We mentally challenge ourselves. But what do we do for the spiritual enlightenment?
Yes, and it's so easy to get distracted in the world from that. You know, you have to be very disciplined to meditate or to do yoga or to do your spiritual practices. And it takes, you know, a lot of effort, because most of our lives are so busy that, oh, well, I'm already too late to do that. You know, I still have this to do, and the list goes on and on. And so,
and there's so many distractions. There is.
Oh, yeah.
We've got our iPhones and our TVs and, you know.
Oh, I know. And computers, yeah. And then, so this is just a wonderful time to get away from all of that. Of course, now they do have, you know, a room where you can, you know, hook up with your computer and get online and get the password and all of that, so you can use, you know, your technology there if you feel you need to. But boy, when we first started, there was none of that, you know, and nobody had a cell phone, nobody had a computer, nobody had any of that, and it really was kind of an immersion in getting away from the world, and it still can be. I guess it's up to us how, you know, how we discipline ourselves with that.
The more you can get away from technology for that week, and we all need that break. We do.
Oh,
you know, our eyes need that break because we spend so much time looking at different screens. But anyway,
I know.
We're at lunch.
Continuing
so
with our day.
Forward.
Yes. So after we have lunch, then we have a two-hour period of what we call free time. And during the free time, you can shop at the gift and book store, and it's now called the Enlightenment Emporium. So we have wonderful gifts and books that are for sale, and we even have a used book table where people come and donate books. And you can also, during this free time, have a healing, the healing center, or you can take a walk, or they do have a pool there to swim at the college as well.
Now, I just want to stop, and I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about the gift store,
yes.
the bookstore, which is now the Healing Emporium, and I want to talk about the Healing Center, because all three of those are so special.
Oh,
and
yes.
The bookstore, you can find out of print treasures
yes.
there.
Yes.
And only pay $1 or $2 for,
yes, for
these wonderful books.
The used books, yes, yes. And a lot of people who had passed on had donated their libraries of books, and people brought them to the retreat, and that's how you could find those amazing old out-of-print books for just, like you said, $1 or $2. And but now we have combined the bookstore and the gift center into the one big room, and that is called the Enlightenment Emporium. And they're just wonderful things there. You know, we have crystals and stones and, you know, gift cards and books and jewelry and just an amazing variety of things, drums and candles. And
Drums. Yes, Larry Redmond, you know, he makes those wonderful drums.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Just amazing things, things that you won't find somewhere else. And so that's another wonderful, you know, plus with that Enlightenment Emporium. And I also wanted to mention, as well as shopping and going to the Healing Center, the free time is also when people have their readings and counseling sessions. And so you sign up for those when you get to the retreat. And if you're already have signed up for the retreat, some people can sign up in advance for those. So a wonderful list of counselors, and you're doing it as well, Adrienne. You're going to do readings and counseling sessions.
I am, and I'm so looking forward to that.
Yeah, we have about 20 people doing readings during the free time. So that's another thing that people have time to do. Or if you're really tired, sometimes people can take a nap during the free time. But I would advise if you are tired, go to the Healing Center, because that would be a wonderful time to, you know, have a healing done or have your chakras balanced or your aura cleared or whatever the particular spirit is there to do that day.
So the Healing Center, what that is it is a place where you can go for free and have healing done. And all they ask is a love offering, usually $5 to $10 for that time, and that goes to the retreat. And so the healers are there working from their heart, from spirit, for free to help people and to support the retreat. And it is, I have had amazing healings there, and I've also been the channel for amazing healings there. And it is a sacred, sacred place. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I've had two amazing healings there, and I had been the channel for amazing healings. I had someone get up off the table when they laid down, they had this back pain. When they got up off the table, the back pain was gone. And I knew Archangel Michael was there, and the cool thing was when she got up, she's like, Archangel Michael was here. And I'm like, yes, I know.
Oh, I know. You just have such amazing experiences, and it builds throughout the week because we have, you know, a wonderful energy there. And in the morning, we use that same room for the meditation, and then it builds, you know, with the healings that take place during the day. So it's a wonderful experience, and I would encourage everyone, you know. And the donation is, a love offering is simply what you feel you can afford, too. I mean, if someone only can afford a couple dollars, that's fine. You know, if they can afford more, that's wonderful, too. We don't want anyone to feel like they, you know, well, I won't go in there because I don't have $10 to spare.
Right.
Just please go in. And even if you write something on a piece of paper that's important to you and put it in the love offering, that's still coming from your heart. So we, you know, we want everyone to participate in the Healing Center, you know, whenever they can. And we don't want anybody to be held back by the cost part of it, because really it's just a love offering. So
I have a deer in my front yard, and deer, according to Ted Andrews, is about innocence. And also about community.
And I think that's so apropos because these are people who are open here. These are people
yes.
who are open and are looking for community with each other. And when you go for your first time, you get a little first time hug me put on your name tag.
Yes, the gold star. Yes.
So let's see. Okay, so free time's over and we've had a healing and maybe we had a counseling session where we had an amazing reading. Yes. We visited the gift store. Now what's next?
And then we go to our afternoon workshop. And we have another 2 hours with another amazing, you know, program person doing a workshop, whether it's a single session or a week-long workshop. And there is so much information and so much energy in it, so wonderful. And after that two-hour time frame, it's time for dinner. And then we used to have about a half hour in between there, and then we walk over to the cafeteria again and have a wonderful meal. And then when we're done with that, we come back to the auditorium and we have another lecture. And that lecture, again, lasts for about 45 minutes, and we have the raffle draw again. And after that, we have Monday night, a special events night with the Psychic Sampler. And that's why I chose Monday night, because Psychic Sampler is so much fun. We have about 10 people readers who have volunteered to do a variety of different readings for 10 minutes, and it's $10 for 10 minutes, and people sign up for that during free time. And it's just a wonderful sampling of different types of readings that are available, and we have wonderful things that happen within that 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
People have told me, oh my gosh, I got some, the most amazing information. And so that takes, about maybe an hour, hour and a half. And then after that, you go to the Zodiac Zone, and then you have more fun. And at the Zodiac Zone, we have amazing hospitality. There's always popcorn and usually lemonade or something else, and then cookies and desserts and
hummus.
To go to hummus with chips or vegetables, you know, and then people who kind of like to stay out late or up later go to the Zodiac Zone. And then those of us who retire early and get ready for the meditation, all the fun and laughter is in the Zodiac Zone. So
you can see why you'd be tired, because your night ends about 11.
Oh, I know. It's jam-packed.
And then you're waking up again the next day, you know, at 6,
yeah.
Getting ready for meditation. And there's,
yeah.
You know, so just to highlight, the Great Lakes Retreat, remember the at the beginning of the name of the website, and this is about, 30 miles south of Lansing. It's near Charlotte, Michigan. If you're in Ohio or Indiana, it's just a little bit across the border. And so I've been saying it's the largest retreat in the Midwest.
Possibly be. You know, when we were part of SFF, we had about five different major retreats across the United States. But I think we are one of the few that are left because, like I said, the information that people can get is so available, and it's hard for people, you know, in other ways, and then it's hard for people to maybe take a week off to, you know, commit to going somewhere because everyone has a life, you know. So it's, there are
and that's
very many.
True. We all have lives, and this is something that is sacred and special, but it is also something that needs to be preserved because it in the technological world that we live in now, we don't leave the house the way we used to.
Oh, I know. Yes.
I mean, even...
Yeah, and we don't make connections heart-to-heart with people anymore because there's a screen in front of us. Even if we're, you know, people are texting or emailing or whatever, you don't get that, you know, personal interaction with another person, like at the healing service, you know, which is so beautiful on Wednesday night. I mean, it is just people joining together with a common bond and a common interest with spirit connection, and you just don't find that anywhere anymore.
That is the most beautiful service, And the healing and the entire community, the Great Lakes Retreat, gathers, and then there are selected healers. This is in the auditorium, who are on the stage, and then people come down, and they get to sit with two healers at the same time, and for about 3 to 5 minutes, they receive this beautiful healing energy, and then they go back up into the auditorium, and they sit. And then when I'm watching the people in the auditorium, we're all in this beautiful spiritual healing trance.
Yeah.
I see them putting energy out to help the healers. And we've had people visit with bringing sick loved ones come in to participate in the healing service because it's so powerful.
Yes, and you know, that is open to the public. It's free. We don't charge for that. So anyone who would like to attend the healing service just to kind of get a sampling of what the Great Lakes Retreat is like, you know, come that night for sure. It's I think it starts at 7:30 on Wednesday night.
It does. You know what? This time has flown by so fast.
I'm
getting ready to start doing readings. If you would like to stay, I would welcome you. You know, and you can provide insight, but if you need to leave, I understand.
You know, Adriana, I was out feeding my horses, and I still have a couple things to do, so I think I will let you handle the reading part, and I will see you in a week.
I love the picture of you feeding your horses.
Yeah, okay. So good to talk to you. It was just wonderful, and I so appreciate you, you know, letting everyone know about the Great Lakes Retreat. And we hope that someone listening today will decide to at least come for a day and see what it's like. So thank you, Adriana.
Oh, thank you, Cindy.
Yeah,
thank
so
you.
Good to talk with you.
Good to talk with you. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
So if you'd like more information on the Great Lakes Retreat, you can go to thegreatlakesretreat.org. I also have a link on my website, which is titled Retreat. So you can go to mysticconnections.com and click on that link. You can also contact me, and I can get you a little discount. So if you're interested in coming, this is the year. This is the time. And I will be teaching about the Sacred Triad, which has changed my life. You know, I had this idea of what my life was going to be when I was younger, and the Sacred Triad is kind of more now my focus. And I remember listening to my mom talk about things and thinking, boy, she's crackers, because she was so spiritually enlightened. And when you're earthbound and you're connected in with the physicality of the earth, and what you see are the laws of physics and what can be and what can't be, and you listen to someone who's not earthbound, who is willing to have an open mind, you may think that they're off their rocker. And I definitely thought my mom was off her rocker, or at least a little tilted, but now it's funny how much we have in common. There was a Facebook post, and it said, you know, we never appreciate our parents as much when they're here as when all we have left is an empty chair. So if you have the chance, hug your parents. Tell them you love them. It doesn't matter if you're irritated with them because they did something. If you have the chance and they're on earth, send them a little love. That's your relationship with them. Okay, Courtney, I'm ready for a caller.
Okay, well, we have Alicia from Panama City. And before I bring her on, Alicia, why is spiritual enlightenment important?
Hi,
Alicia.
Okay, you asked me why is spirituality important?
Why is spiritual enlightenment important?
For me, that means connecting with my true self, and who I really truly am and who I've came or chose to come into this world to be. So being spiritually enlightened is vital.
I love that. I love that.
I am a male
in spirit for you. I have a male in spirit. I feel like there's a connection with father's side of the family for you here. So this is a father or perhaps a grandfather?
Okay.
All right.
I don't have very many men in my physical life right now. My father passed away from breast cancer when I was 10 years old.
Well, he wants you to know he's here. Okay.
Hi, Daddy.
Yeah, he loves you so much. And he's saying you have an important decision to make.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And he says that you're going to make the right decision, and he wants you to think about the right decision, not so much for yourself, but for the right decision as far as what's right and versus what's wrong.
See, okay. I when I do some tarot readings, I use a couple of different apps on my phone, and that keeps coming up. Like, I have an important decision to make, and, you know, I make decisions every single day. So, like, which decision are we talking about here? Maybe it's just something that I'm not seeing.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems to have something to do with family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In my marriage, maybe?
I'm getting the nose, so yes. Touch the nose for me means correct.
You said a touch of the nose means what for you?
You know, is when my guides touch their noses,
mm-hmm.
that means yes.
Oh.
You ever see anyone touch their nose meaning yes?
No, I haven't. I don't think so.
Did you have a specific question?
Yes, it was in regards to my new venture. I'm a mom, a stay-at-home wife, and a mother turning a
Do you have two children?
I do. I have two children. I have a son.
Because your dad was indicating two children. And I think the decision affects your children, too.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Well, my question I had originally called in today was really work-related.
Mm-hmm.
Starting a new venture, writing. Working from home, but writing, you know, so I'm still able to be there for my kids and, you know, fulfill my family duties and things like that. But I'm just wondering if there was something as far as, like, my planning and how I visualize things to be or how I'm planning for me to study for it and how it will be once I get into my business and everything like that. Like, is there something I'm missing? But in my dreams, it tells me you're missing something. When I do my tarot readings, it tells me I'm missing something. I'm like, okay, well, what am I missing?
I feel first of all, like, there's going to be successes, but there's going to be failures. And those failures are going to be steep and scary. That in order for you to be successful, when there's successes, you have to put money away. You have to keep it away. You have to tie to yourself is what I'm hearing. And you have to be very tight string budget. So when there's money, it's like, oh, good, we can afford it. No, you can't. Put it away.
Okay.
Because, you know, next month might not be so flush. So that's the first thing that I see. The second thing that I see is that you're you need to have, it needs to be more whole, more complete. And I don't know what that means exactly. I'm getting do a little bit more research to make sure that everything's fleshed out. Are you writing from a third-person perspective?
No.
You're writing from a first-person perspective?
I'm sorry, yes. I'm not a first-person. Yes, I'm writing from a third-person perspective.
Okay, yeah. Because that's what they told me, third person. That's why I sounded surprised. Okay, so, yeah, you know, they're asking for more detail, more, it's weird they said biological content. I don't know what that means. But more detail, so maybe research exactly what it is that you're writing about so you can have a more detailed, more complete.
Okay,
and
I think
also,
I understand.
Also, research more into the people that you're writing for.
Yeah.
Because some are, I feel like there's multiple people,
mm-hmm.
not just one, or multiple.
Sure.
And some are good, but some are not. And mm-hmm. that can cause some of those deep holes where you're expecting to get paid and there's something going on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, bless you, and I'm so glad your father came in so strong for you, and you have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You did the same.
All right, Courtney, who's our next caller?
We have Christine from Los Angeles, California. And before I bring you on, Christine, why is spiritual enlightenment important?
It's important because it allows you to see the light. There is light at the end of the tunnel, and that is pretty much the pathway we should be on. Because sometimes we feel that we're lost, you know, on this journey of life, and we always have to go back to, you know, why we are here, and this is just a passage. And yeah, that's why spiritual enlightenment is important.
Wonderful. That's beautiful. So do you have a female in spirit? I'm getting a connection with mother's side of the family. It's just, is mom or aunt? Could be a close grandmother, but it seems close to me.
Probably my grandmother.
All right. And so did you have a close connection with her?
Yes.
Okay. And her name?
Her name?
Yes.
Just
your first name.
Well, I just call her Grandma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, she's sending a lot of loving energy to you, and she's telling you to be practical. To be practical. And she's saying that you have, like, you have a lot of ideas, or you have a lot of wants and needs and desires, but she's saying that a lot of it is, like, in the sky. It's not practical. So she's asking you to be more grounded and be more practical. I mean, you know, have, when you want something, you have to take a look at it exactly what you want, and then you have to see the steps that you need to get there. And I feel like there's not enough maybe practical planning is what she's showing me, because she wants the things that you want for you. What's your question today?
Love.
I feel like that's where you need the practical planning.
Okay.
So, you know, that... you're searching for someone, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I feel like she's trying to show me that you're saying, where are they, but they're in the sky? You know what I mean? Where are you, but your feet aren't on the ground? And so you have to say, okay, this is what I want in a mate. And this person has these qualities. So if this person has these qualities, then where would I look for a person with these qualities, right? It's like if you're looking for someone who's not a drinker, you wouldn't go to the bar, right? That type of thing. Are you looking online?
No.
I feel like you should look online, and I feel like you should list the qualities you're looking for, and I feel like you should list the qualities that would attract
someone. I'm not that desperate.
It's not about death.
And I do know what I want, and, you know, and this is...
I know you know what you want, but she's showing me... I don't mean to be argumentative, but she's showing me that you know what you want, but that you're not taking practical steps to get it. Sorry. And she wants that for you. She really wants that for you.
The man that I want, you know, the quality people, they do not exist on, like, online dating sites. I mean, that's just, that's low. No.
You know what? I was reading for a man, and I tell you, I was about ready to clunk him over the head. He was looking for a woman. And I said, do you know how many women are looking for men? Do you know how many women are searching for you right now? He's like, well, I can't find the right person. And I said, where are you looking? And he's like, well, you know, I mean, I'm sure I'm just going to run into her. I said, are you going to church? I tell people all the time, go to church. You know, maybe you'll find someone there, you know, with your spiritual, inclination or beliefs. And he said, I don't want to go to church just to find someone there. And I was just looking at him. And I'm like, how in the world are you ever going to find someone if you're just, like, coasting through life? Unless you have a fender bender with that right person. I mean, how do you do that? So I know, and I absolutely did not mean to intimate that you're desperate, because I know you're not. And I know you're beautiful. And I know that you're extremely ready for love. And I feel like love is close. You just need to kind of make it like a project. And if you don't want to do online, because I saw online could be successful for you, I understand. But I feel like I do want you to take some practical steps to find love. Some practical steps to outline a project for yourself and take practical steps. Bless you and good luck, and keep in touch. Let us know how it's going.
Well, thank you, Adriana. I believe that's some sound advice right there, but Christine, actually, we lost her call, so hopefully she's able to go back into archive and listen to the rest of your advice and definitely follow through with it.
Yeah, I think she was irritated when I said online dating, which online dating is not for desperate people. Online dating is what a lot of professional people do now because we're busy. I'm lucky I'm married. But someone looking for someone, we don't have time to just wander around and hope we find them in the grocery store or in the mall, which we never go to anymore anyway. You know, we all do so much. I go to the mall occasionally, mainly at Christmas time. So, all right, we have time for one more caller.
This one's actually close to home. Before I bring you on the air, Jane, why is spiritual enlightenment important? And she is actually calling from Canton, Michigan.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, right in the neighborhood. Spiritual enlightenment, I feel, is very important because it helps you on your path and it takes you to a place of bliss if you're not busy fighting and if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
So true. So true.
Yeah. So that's what I've learned from my own experience. My question, I have a whole lot of questions, but I'll just bring up four topics and you go from there. Family, book, male relationship, and I can't read my last one.
I'm going to start with book. I feel like you need to, are you writing a book?
Mm-hmm, yes.
I feel like you need to rewrite it. And so that's what they're showing me. And I feel like it's almost written. Is it written?
It's almost written, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like you need to do what I need to do. And I'm going to take this advice. I just have to rope the right person into it. You need to print out your book, and you need to put it in a binder.
Okay.
And you need to take a dear friend who happens to be very literary and pay for their dinner and sit across from them, and both of you are going to have glasses of lemonade or iced tea, and you go through each page, and you take turns reading aloud to each other. And things that sound good, great. Things that sound repetitive, note, because you're that close. You are
I wrote the book a year ago last January. But circumstances have prevented me from going forward. And the book is on grief. And I said, what happens when your spouse dies suddenly?
Oh, yeah.
So that, and at first it was my husband. I don't know if I should tell you the rest. And then my dad last June, and then my brother in January. So I planned all three funerals.
Oh, boy.
I so feel like it was cathartic for you to write it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like you're very close, but you need to go through, because in the passion of the writing and in the flush of writing, you know, you get everything down on paper, and that's good. But when you go through, you may find, you know what, I don't like the way I phrased that sentence. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know what?
Yeah, I understand that. I understand completely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they're showing me there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Family.
I'm working on my dad's estate.
I feel like there's something crushing or painful with the family from people, from the passing. I feel like there's holes left and there's crushing or painful. And I feel like there's a connection that isn't as strong as it needs to be between you and a sibling. And I believe that it's, do you have a sister?
I have three.
Okay, so I think it's sister. And I think that there's just a lack of communication or a loss of communication. And I think from your end, this sister, does she have lighter hair? Do you have a sister with lighter hair?
One, yes. Two, a little bit darker, and the other one much darker.
Okay. Does the lighter hair frizz just a little bit?
You said frizz a little bit? It's naturally wavy or something. Yeah, she's baby
okay.
of the family. She's the baby of the family.
Okay. That's the one that they're, and I'm not sure who's giving me this message, whether it's your father or another sibling who's passed, but that one is not seeing things the same way you do. And
well, I can understand that. Mm-hmm.
Needs you to stop. This is going to sound really painful, because being the person who settles the estate is a thankless job. Totally horrible,
yes.
Thankless job, and you can never do anything right. No matter what,
right.
Somebody's going to be irritated and angry with you.
Okay. Get in line.
That being said, that the younger sibling with the white hair that's a little frizzy is there's a lost quality to her.
She's like a lost soul, or what do you mean?
The lost quality.
About the passing of my dad, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe the various passings. And that you're trying to do this, she has strong emotions and strong about what she thinks should be done.
Mm-hmm.
But Are you like having you need to have a group meeting with the entire family, not just make decisions on your own. You need to have a group meeting with the family.
I'm at the very end. I'm at the very end where I'm just giving the last of the, I gave all the accounting to the CPA just recently. And
okay.
I'm just trying to, and now I have to do the spreadsheet, and I have to hold off on it because I can't type right now. But
there's something there that she wanted or wants. There's something there that's super important to her.
Hmm.
Oh, well, anyway. But I think more than that, she just needs a hug and a shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
She needs that. All right. Love. Love life. Okay. You're not ready for prime time. You might be ready for dating, but you're not ready for prime time.
Prime time being marriage, you mean?
Or anything too deep. A committed relationship, you know, just take time. Take time.
Okay, this person said he's going to retire and move to California in a year.
Okay.
And I think,
are you
going to
go with him?
He hasn't invited me. He said I can come visit.
Okay. You know,
he's a widower.
Yeah.
And of 15 months now.
Yeah.
And for me, it's 2.5 years.
So, 2.5 years is a good amount of time. I think you're more ready than he is. I'm getting not ready for prime time. And that might be more him.
Yeah.
I feel like if you can go to California if you want. You can. But if you go, you'll separate. You won't stay with him. And I feel like it's going to be a mutual agreement between you and him. But I'm not saying end the relationship. I think I'm saying that if he goes, you know, long distance, and then visit and come back, and that will be much more successful because he's not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Not ready.
I keep having people who are in grief just coming into my life in the last month, maybe.
And you know why that is.
It seems to me that I'm supposed to be helping them.
Agreed. Because you are writing this book, you are turning yourself into a spiritual counselor who helps these people, so that's why.
Yeah.
You've turned your light on. The doctor is in. I'm enjoying talking with you, but I need to let you go because I need to wrap up the show.
Okay. Thank you, Marianna. I was going to ask you one more question about that, but it's
Will
there be somebody else in my life?
If you would like a full reading, you can reach me at mysticconnect@aol.com. Or
where are you located?
I am actually in Lapeer, but I do travel.
Okay.
And we could do a phone reading like we do right here. Or I can come to your location. Or you could visit me because in a week I will be very close to you. I'll be at the Great Lakes Retreat in Olivet, Michigan. Not very close, but certainly closer, probably an hour away.
I don't know where Olivet even is.
You know what?
It's 30
miles south of Lansing, and it's just
really?
A little past Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear what college it was. I keep hearing about college this, college that.
Olivet.
Okay, got it.
It's on Olivet, Michigan, and it's Olivet College.
Okay, great. I'll check it out, the Great Lakes Retreat.org.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a blessed day.
Okay, thank you very much, Adriana.
Thank you. So I wanted to talk about spiritual enlightenment. We have like 3 minutes left. Why is spiritual enlightenment important? And I got to tell you, folks, this is a trick question. The reason why spiritual enlightenment is important is the reason why you are on this planet is for spiritual enlightenment. The reason why you are in a physical body right now is to be spiritually enlightened, is to grow in spirit. That's why we're here. That's why we signed up again for this journey, to grow in spirit, to become enlightened. In the Buddhist spiritual belief, we reincarnate, and every time we reincarnate, we become more and more spiritually enlightened. And the Hindu belief is of similar belief. Now, Christian belief does not include reincarnation. However, the Christian belief is that we are to become as close, humbly, as close as we can to Jesus. You know, Jesus said, what I do, so can you. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not quoting directly. But he said everything that he did, we can do. And we are supposed to be like Jesus. We ask our questions. What would Jesus do, right? In the Jewish or Hebrew religion, they read the Talmud, and they are striving their time. Reading that is precious, precious. And they are striving to get closer and closer and closer to the holiness. That's what spiritual enlightenment is, right? That's our mission on earth, to become spiritually enlightened. Have a blessed day.